This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
He's a poet.
Rich Eisen.
My God, he is so funny. He is a brilliant, brilliant creator. But you know, he is also so serious. He's in charge of every detail.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Dodgers catcher Will Smith. Host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. What's happening?
Rich, welcome to the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah.
And it's just me and TJ because Rich's mic is not working. It's a Wednesday. How are you guys doing today?
Chris Brockman, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
There we go.
Everybody. Hey. I'm working buttons
here
on the program. Good to see everybody here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Good to chat with everybody here on the program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this show. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich, what's
put
up, man?
Put you to work already.
Yeah, got
ready,
no, right?
Mike
ready
Delton
to go.
To a heart attack.
Good oh,
to see
my God.
Mikey.
Scrambled jets.
CJ Jefferson candles lit over there. Good to see you.
Hey, we stay ready, Rich, so we ain't got to get ready.
I appreciate you saying all of that.
What to do, baby?
Hey, there's lots to talk about on this program. LeBron James tipped off season number 23 for him last night here in Los Angeles, California. He looked good. Lakers look great. They're 11-4. We'll talk about that on this program. Kurt Warner's going to be first up talking about everything that we saw in week number 11. We'll turn the page a little bit to week number 12. Hey, Los Angeles fans, certainly listening out there on ESPN 710 here in Los Angeles. Will Smith, the Dodgers catcher who hit the World Series essentially winning home run, and also gave everyone here in Los Angeles a heart attack by lifting his foot up off the plate for a split second as IKF was coming in with his foot of his own in that legendary Game 7 moment. He's going to join us. And I have questions. I have questions for him. Could you imagine the entire World Series was inside a replay machine for a split moment involving his foot, and he had to wonder...
I mean, I don't have
what's
to imagine. That's what happened.
Yeah. No, I understand.
It was happening.
What I'm saying, he had to wonder, you know, did I get it back down in time?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And for how long was that moment for him?
Oof.
For instance, and what did it look like from him to watch Andy Páez run all over Kike and bulldoze him to keep the game alive?
Yeah, from that point of view.
All the way back there. What's it like to catch Shohei? What's it like to catch Yamamoto? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he caught every inning of that World Series.
He did, and he was coming back from injury, too, late in the year.
Does it involve a cold tub? Why did he slap Chris Rock? Okay, wait a minute.
I want to talk about Independence
being
Day.
Told different Will Smith. And how many times have you heard that joke? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mike Florio as well and everything going on in the National Football League. And here's what's going on. When Michael Penix Jr. got drafted by the Atlanta Falcons, everyone was sitting right there at that draft saying, what's up with that? Because Kirk Cousins just left Minnesota to be your starting quarterback and you just paid him gajillions of dollars and you went ahead and used a draft choice instead of to support this veteran quarterback in his final dotage years in the National Football League to try and go all in on that basket in the same way the Jets were doing with Aaron Rodgers at the time, not knowing that the Steelers were going to do the same thing with Rodgers in a couple of years. But I get ahead of myself. We were all sitting there going, what are the Falcons thinking by taking a quarterback at all, let alone one who is, you know, arguably coming into this draft that has since, as we've seen, put Drake May into the ether. And we see what he's doing now. Jaden Daniels was the unicorn last year. And we see what Bo Nix has become there. And we're waiting for J.J. McCarthy to still show up regularly like he did in Michigan, winning a national championship there. And Caleb Williams, my goodness gracious now, is a 7-3 NFC North leading into week 12 quarterback.
Yeah, finally looks like the number one overall pick.
But Penix, out of all of them, was believed to be the most pro-ready because he's also, you know, a Brandon Whedon, age?
A little older.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's older. 24, and he also, boy, does he have that gorgeous spiral, like an NFL film spiral.
No doubt.
And a rocket arm, but also a surgically repaired knee multiple times over, having suffered not one, not two, not three, but four season-ending injuries in his college career where he was all over the map. But that's not his fault. It's part and parcel of the way things are going in college football now. So you're drafting somebody that you, a lot of people thought they didn't need. And then they drafted somebody whose availability wasn't always his best ability. And sure enough, they needed him last year because Kirk Cousins started falling apart at the seams, coming off of an Achilles injury of his own, right? And they turned to Penix. Save the season, kid. He couldn't. He tried. Then he gets the starting job this year, and everyone's wondering, are you going to get rid of Kirk Cousins now? And the answer was no. Doesn't matter how expensive he is. We may need him. And we were all like, wink, wink. All right. That's just you trying to cover the fact and cover some tracks of drafting Penix and having a bad signing, and you're definitely going to offload him at some point. Nobody knocked on the door to their liking with an offer. They held on to him. Penix missed one game with a bone bruise on a knee this year. Didn't look great for Cousins in that game. Tua and the Dolphins started planting their feet and pirouetting on their season. We'll see how much more winning they can do. But here we are now on this week 12 Wednesday with the Atlanta Falcons having lost in overtime at home to the Carolina Panthers in a game where they not only lost Drake London with a knee injury, but lost Penix with 1-2. And we find out today, season-ending knee surgery for Michael Penix Jr. And it's yet another ACL injury, partially torn, thank goodness. But this was the concern about him, and it's not fair to bring up his injury history at this moment, except for the fact that the Falcons have a season on the line. And unbelievably, the person they're turning to save it is the guy they turned away from last year and turned to Penix to save it, and Kirk Cousins, who's still there. And it's a much bigger hole from which the Falcons are asking Cousins to dig out of rather than the one that Cousins handed to Penix last year. Dire straits for the Atlanta Falcons, who are now looking up in the standings at a Carolina Panthers team that has already swept them this year for the first time since 2013. Atlanta, 3-7. They're not even in the sniffing it category when we show you the NFC standings here. And we're very lenient on the sniffing it portion of
we're generous.
Yeah, we're generous when it comes to we expand the circle to 4-5-1 teams. But after that, we got to turn our back on you. They're not even in the mix right now. And Atlanta's next game is at New Orleans before they visit the Jets, and then they're home for Seattle at Tampa on a Thursday night, mid-December.
And even more damning, they do not own their first-round pick next year.
That belongs to the Rams because they traded back into it for more defensive pass rush help, which has been an improvement this year. An improvement this year. So it looks like the Falcons are in a position where they couldn't even have imagined they'd be in right now. Mm-mm. Or certainly they hoped they wouldn't be in, with Penix not there because he hurt a knee that a lot of red flags were flying about.
I mean, did we all have them in the playoffs this year? Or
Did you choose them to win the division?
I think I might have. Their offense is stacked and improved defense. It's all right there.
And by the way, Drake London might not play this week either. It looks like he's not.
Yep.
Because of that aforementioned knee injury. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in the Cleveland Ranch, Berea, Ohio, Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, said the words that we thought he would eventually say this year. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't be because they traded away both their veterans and the rookie drafted in front of him can't go because he's got a concussion. Finally, the words have been said. Hit it.
Shador's going to start at quarterback. Dylan is still in the concussion protocol. He is improving. But obviously we got to put a plan together for all of our players, all of our offense, our defense, our special teams, plan of attack, and give our guys a chance to go execute and play fast. That's the goal.
Okay. So just to interpret that for you, play fast. Just to go ahead and play fast. And offense, defense, special teams, it's not just about one guy, but nice try. To play fast, meaning we're not going to have somebody back there thinking. We're not going to have somebody back there unfamiliar with X, Y, and Z. Maybe simplify the playbook. Play fast, not think. Instincts. Kid has instincts. That's for darn sure. And we will see what it looks like. That interpretation is like simplify the playbook. And we're going to put stuff in specifically for him so he can play fast. We can all play fast. Obviously, the most successful thing would be for him to turn to Quinshon Judkins and say, go run. And run away from 99 because they're playing Max Crosby. That's number one. You want to play fast? Run away from him. Sort of full-on Monty Python run away. And that means they're going to surround him with support. Yes. Take a listen to how Kevin Stefanski answered the question about the reps. They're going to give any. Is it Bailey Zappi who's next? Is he next?
I think he is next in line.
Maybe just get him ready in case. What's going to happen here?
Pretty much like the vast majority of those reps. Are you playing Spider with Bailey or anything?
No, he'll get every rep.
Okay. He'll get every rep. Ooh. So I guess for those out there who thought they were sabotaging him. Or, I guess, what? Sabotaging the system?
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Okay, that's right.
Who is that?
That's William Shatner.
That's like a 60-year-old clown.
Right, sabotage the system.
I
don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
He's the starting quarterback. He better be getting every rep.
Well, that's the whole point, though. Yeah. If they weren't sabotaging him by not giving him every rep.
Yeah.
Okay? All right? And perfect example. Again, Shador is not the first backup quarterback to get in there without a single rep with the ones all season long. Right?
Most backup quarterbacks?
Not most. All of them don't get them.
Yeah, don't get any.
Here's the story. I was going to tell it yesterday. I'll tell it now. As the story goes, Tom Moore, the great Tom Moore, old man football, right?
Old man.
He was on, honestly, he makes Wilford Brimley look like Benjamin Button, right? And so good old Tom Moore, when he was with the Peyton Manning Colts.
He's 87 right now.
Yeah, God bless him. If you ever have the chance to talk football with him, you got to do it. Because at some point, you know that Lou Duva commercial I used to be in on SportsCenter? Mm-hmm. You know, where he's bleeped out in the commercial because they couldn't put five continuous words that were safe for work together in the edit bay. Screw it, we'll just bleep them out in a commercial where we could edit things out. Tom Moore would be just like that.
He's still coaching. He's a senior offensive assistant with the Bucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, as the story goes, somebody asked him if the Colts give Peyton Manning's backup any reps in practice with the ones. And his answer was, no. Why not? Well, because if Peyton's not playing, we're effed. And we don't practice effed. That was his answer.
Wow. Great answer.
Right? If he doesn't play, we're effed. And
that's the rest of the team feel about
effed
that.
Is not in the playbook.
Yeah.
You know, so I get it. But the question is it took so damn long to get to this point. What does that mean for their thoughts about Shador? And guess what? That is now all out the window because they are all in the same boat. It could be the USS Eft.
Could be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could.
But Shador is going to have an NFL start on Sunday in Las Vegas against a wins-challenged Raiders team. He is going to have a full week of you're the starter preparation. He can walk around the building in the manner in which he's probably been dreaming of walking around an NFL building. I am the starting quarterback of fill in the blank. I am the guy who's going to be leading the huddle. I am leading the team this week. I am the team leader. I am the guy who's in the playbook. I am the guy talking to the OC and the HC about what I'm comfortable with. And they are setting me up to succeed. And no matter what happened on draft weekend, and no matter the way you read the way he's handling his business or the way the Browns were handling their business at the position, they are all in the same boat. And it's either Shedeur Sanders, captain of the USS Browns, or they are on the USS Eft. And the Raiders are going to have a lot to do with it. But I can't wait to see it. Browns at Raiders, where, by the way, you know, one on one baby effed the most. Don't worry, Disney Plus, I'll stop using that word. We're ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. It could be Geno Smith, because Myles Garrett is bringing his tombstones to Vegas. And they can't protect Geno. Browns can win this game. But I can't wait to see it.
That was higher register.
Nope. That's tomorrow's show.
Do you think anyone will score a touchdown in this game?
Yes, of course.
Absolutely.
Of course?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
You've watched them both play football before, right?
I have.
A few times. Yeah.
Okay. Have we watched Shedeur play football in a week in which I've talked about the preparation? Have we seen that yet?
It may not matter.
Okay. Have we seen Chip Kelly maybe coordinate this thing in a way that's going to dial it up?
No, we saw it a couple times.
You've seen it a couple times. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Never say never.
I think the under is a great play this week. That's all I'm saying.
What is it? What's that number?
36, which seems kind of high.
Hmm. Okay. But do you know what? Do you pick up what I'm putting down? All that business of like, why didn't they draft him? Why wasn't he drafted? Why did he have to jump in the pool after the fifth round finally? Do they want him? Why are they not playing him, you know, in preseason more? Even though he got hurt for after the performance that he had against, by the way, a Carolina Panthers team that turned out to be better than expected. Although that was back in August against twos and threes and guys who aren't in the league anymore. And why wasn't he this? Why weren't they giving him that? Why were they going to Dylan Gabriel? Why weren't they giving him any this or that? Was he being sabotaged? Is that the proper way to say it, Mike? I don't know.
I don't say sabotage.
Oh.
You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Okay, exactly. I mean, listen to James T. Kirk. William Shatner.
I think funny enough, too, him getting the start against the team most people thought
he was going to be drafted
he's
by.
Play for.
Right.
Yeah.
And yep. Still couldn't buy it next year. Listen, I can't wait.
We can only hope.
That's all out the window. They're now on the USS fill in the blank. We'll find out. I can't wait. Fun week 12 stuff.
One thing you said, Rich, real quick about him going in there and walking around like he's the captain of the ship. I think he should just do what he's been. Stay humble. Learn.
Know
that the defense got to carry you. And
I'm not saying he's going to do that chest out. There are ways to do that, in the manner in which you're describing. And I'm sure he's been dreaming of that. Now he can. He truly can do this in Berea, Ohio for the next few days. What's he going to do on Sunday? Will he force the hand of Stefanski saying, all right, I saw that. You saw that. You saw that in Las Vegas. Next up, we'll see it at home against San Francisco. And then against Cam Ward, a guy who was drafted a gajillion miles in front of him. And then against Caleb. Then against Josh Allen. Then against Aaron Rodgers.
Dylan Gabriel.
And then against Joe Flacco!
Isn't Dylan Gabriel the starter
or Burrow
when he's healthy?
I don't know. Then I'm just saying, you can play the hot hand. Let's go.
We'll know by Monday.
That's what happens in Vegas. You play hot hands, correct, Christopher? All right.
That's true.
I think I've hit the point.
I agree.
Speaking of that, let's take a break. Kurt Warner's going to join us next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a busy Wednesday.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
And As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, my Hall of Fame friend Kurt Warner is here. All right, you don't have the X-ray in front of you. You're not right there to talk to Aaron Rodgers, but I'm just wondering if he does have that fracture in his wrist and his non-throwing handoff hand. I guess. What are the challenges? Do you think that present his ability to play in a game that you know he wants to play in Soldier Field? You know he wants to do that, and he's already voiced that to Tomlin. What are your thoughts on the challenges that face him to get out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest challenge, just from a playing standpoint, would be, of course, handoffs. You know, what are they going to do to that wrist? Do they have to cast it up, which would probably, you know, go into part of the hand? And so, you know, would he be able to grip the ball? You know, we've talked about it, you know, when I dislocated my left elbow, you know, back in 07, you know, I handed off with my right hand in both directions. And so, I mean, without a doubt, that's something Aaron Rodgers could do. And I think get comfortable with, it didn't take long to figure that out. You know, so that's a possibility. You know, and then just, you know, security of the football, you know, with both hands, obviously. You know, what does that mean for that? But again, when it's your offhand, you know, and I would assume they, you know, they do something to help with the pain part of it. You know, there's not a whole lot that's going to, you know, throw you off with, you know, outside of those little things that I'm talking about.
Okay. And then obviously Caleb Williams, where do you stand on his development now, 11 weeks into the season, Kurt?
He's developing, which is to me the exciting part, is that you just want to see growth. And I've seen growth in a lot of different areas with Caleb in this offense, is, you know, growth in, you know, him fighting to stay in the pocket and go through his progressions. You know, growth in what I love, you know, this past week is that the stats weren't necessarily great. It wasn't a great offensive performance, but I thought he made a bunch of positive plays when there wasn't a whole lot there to be had. And that positive play might just be throwing the ball away instead of, you know, running around and taking a big sack or trying to, you know, wing some 40 yard throw down the field. Or maybe that's just getting to a check down because, you know, it's not clear to him. And so I thought he made a lot of positive plays in this game. And that to me is a sign of maturity, is that it's not, man, every play has to be a home run. Every play I have to, you know, whirl around and run around and try to make a big throw. I think he's growing in all of those areas. There's still room to grow, being more comfortable with the progression part of it and being more fluid with that. You know, to me, learning how to take something off the football, you know, so many of his balls are fastballs. and they're hard to catch. And you know, if they're off just a little bit, it's really tough on his receiver. So there's some growth I want to see in some of those other areas, but just, you know, from where he was last year and how he would get stuck on his reads and get stuck in the pocket and take sacks and not able to work through things, man, I think he's made a whole bunch of progress. And the beautiful thing is that they're winning while he's making progress, that he's not a finished product yet, and neither is his team, but they're still winning. They're finding ways to win, and he's competing his butt off, and he's making plays when they need him to make plays. And that's half the battle as you're going through this process of learning how to win and building the Ben Johnson culture.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. As you know, in our years on NFL Game Day morning, we have a lot of fun with you asking if this is the most complete Chiefs team of the Mahomes era over and over and over and over again. I don't think we'll be asking that of you this coming week. Now the Chiefs are in that other barrel that we've been asking over the last couple of years is, what's wrong with the Chiefs? What's up with the Chiefs? Is there anything wrong with the Chiefs? I know I just asked you three different questions, but it's all part and parcel of the same, you know, I guess, pew, right? So what is wrong with the Chiefs writ large?
Well, I mean, what's wrong, first of all, is that they're not dominant in any area. And, you know, for a while there, they were dominant on offense and their defense was middle of the pack and they had to bring their defense along. And then for a while it was, the defense is really good and the offense is kind of just picks its moments and it's got 15 and they find a way on offense, but they were dominant on defense. Now, when you watch them, they're not dominant in any area. You know, there is nothing to me that they do really, really well. And so they've got nothing to hang their hat on either side of the ball. And so when your offense is struggling, you can't count on your defense to just shut people down. And when your defense is struggling a little bit, you can't count on your offense to put up 30 points because they're not executing at that level. You know, and I would start up front, you know, really on both sides. They're not dominant. You know, they're not able to run the football. They're not dominating in pass protection on the offensive side. You know, Chris Jones doesn't seem to be Chris Jones. He's not dominating and taking over football games where he was that cog in the middle that really made things go defensively. So they're not winning in the trenches, which just, you know, shows, you know, everything else, all their other flaws seem to come out when that's the case. And as excited as they were when we were back in Brazil talking about this wide receiver group that they had and how they felt it could be their best group that they've had in a long time and all of that stuff, I don't see guys on the outside that I trust to win with route running, that I can build a good, solid, you know, pass game, and I expect them to win the routes. These to me seem to be more speed guys, you know, long speed guys that have to get down the field, and that's how they're going to win more than winning with the route running piece of it. And I think that's really hurting this offense, is they're not getting easy opportunities. They're not getting easy wins, you know, for Patrick Mahomes and in the pass game. And when you can't run the football consistently, you know, it just leads to all kinds of messes. And every once in a while they can come together and, you know, they can run these RPOs and they can get it to their playmakers and they can run after catch and it can look really good. But when a team takes that stuff away, and that's kind of what I've seen a little bit with the Bills and now with Denver, is teams are challenging their receivers and getting up and not giving them space where they can catch it and run. They're going to challenge them and say, beat me. Show me you can beat me with route running and you can create separation and enough for Patrick to hit you continually and for you to hurt us. And they haven't been able to do that. And so that's something I'm looking forward to down the stretch, because obviously they've got their work cut out for them, is how do they get better and how do they create some of those opportunities for those receivers and for Patrick when it comes to the passing game, because those guys to me just aren't winning in those one-on-one situations.
Sports Talk Radio question time. Kurt Warner, Ravens have won 4 in a row, and they've got some winnable games in front of them. The Bills just got 6 touchdowns from Josh Allen and beating the Bucks 2 weeks after they beat the Chiefs, all wrapped around one big fat clunker in South Florida. So, which team lasts longer in the 2025 season, all the way through to the end? The Ravens or the Bills? Wow. You call that shot right now. Your answer would be what?
I am going to call the Bills right now. And I think both teams have some issues. Both teams aren't hitting on all cylinders yet, and there's still a ways to go because obviously we've seen where the Ravens have gone from where they started to where they are now and playing a lot better football. And you mentioned it, the Bills may be a little bit the opposite, where they started pretty strong and now we're kind of wondering. I don't know. I just trust them more right now because I've seen more of that, you know, that good play by them, you know, throughout the year. And so that really to me is what it comes down to. Not that the Ravens can't be that team. I mean, they've got all the same pieces that have, you know, been one of the best regular season teams and did some things in the playoffs last year. So I know that's in there. I just haven't seen it come together enough with both sides that I'm fully confident in them moving forward. So I would lean more towards the Bills, even though I see some chinks in their armor as well.
Okay. I don't usually say this. Wrong answer, Kurt. Wrong answer.
Oh, yeah? No, okay. All right.
You don't think the Ravens defense is better than the Bills, the way that they've been playing? I understand their first five games were a hot mess. Their last five games have not been. Lamar is getting healthier, and the playmakers that they have certainly are, I know this is not a metric, are certainly on more fantasy teams than the Bills, and that's just a way to talk about, I guess, talent level, another way to describe that.
I would agree with that. When you go top to bottom from a skill set or talent level, you know, on paper, as we always say.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's why we said on paper that, you know, the Ravens, you know, came into the season as one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. But just because it's on paper, we always say that, right? Paper champions, like, looks really good on paper, but you got to translate it to the field. And even though they're winning now, it's not translating. It's not really pretty. Like, it doesn't look like a dominating football team. And so that's the only thing is I've seen the Bills when they turn it on, they have played at an extremely high level a number of times this year. And that's why I lean in that direction, even though I fully hear what you're saying and would not be surprised 7 weeks from now or 6 weeks from now, whatever, however many we got left, that we say, oh, gosh, Ravens are the team to beat in the AFC. It's just, to me, I'm too leery of, you know, I've done it in the past where it's like, oh, this team should be, but they never show you, but you keep thinking they're going to turn the corner because they should be really good. And too many times I've gone down that path, and then I have to always step back and go, but they didn't show me that. Like, they never showed me they were that team. Why did I believe they were that team? And so right now, they haven't shown me yet. And so I'm just not a full believer that they can put it all together, and they will put it all together by the end of the year. As much as I said, they've got all the pieces. These guys, most of these guys have been there before, so it wouldn't surprise me. But they just haven't shown me yet, so I'm going to go with the team that's shown me a little bit more.
Quick hitter time, Kurt Warner.
All right.
There's a bunch of quarterbacks who aren't starting this week, and I'm wondering if you think they should return this year.
Okay.
At all. Jackson Dart, should he return?
Yeah. I mean, if he's healthy, yeah, he should return. Just don't run as much. Like, yeah, tell him we're going to take those quarterback run plays out of the playbook and just play quarterback.
Joe Burrow.
No. This is one of those that I'm just looking, not as a competitor. As a competitor, if you're healthy, you get back out there and you play, whether there's something to play for or not. I just look at it, I think, you know, as a fan, and if I was in the organization, it's just like, we're not even going to take that chance. Like, we're not in this mix, really. We're just going to let Joe get healthy through the offseason, and we'll come back next year and hope that we can put this thing together. So that's why I say no.
Put him in your – put you in his shoes, though.
I'd play.
Okay.
If it's up to Joe, if it's up to any of us competitors, and we get a chance to be out there and we're healthy and we're not going to, you know, hurt ourselves or injure ourselves more because of it, yeah, we're going out there. Like, we're playing. I'm just being the cautious guy that isn't the guy that has to go out there and play. So I'm telling you that I would bubble wrap him for the rest of the year and get him 100% healthy and believe that next year's our year.
I understand that this is an obvious follow up. And I kind of know what the answer is, but obviously Burrow, you know who he is. Don't need to see him. Dart, I think you know what he is too. And why would you want to put him out there at the risk of another concussion? Or now he's rehabbing something in January, February, March. as opposed to just go there with Jameis. You've already seen from Dart. Yeah. He's got it. You know, I know you need to get reps, but expense of what potentially?
Well,
right? For an interim HC? Right?
I think that's the question, for sure, is that nobody wants him to suffer another concussion, year or any time. I just think, again, because you're a young football team and it's a young quarterback and you're trying to build something there as a team, that's why I feel like, and again, I mean, if we feel like there's anything that could carry over from where he's been, this year with the concussions, then obviously not. I mean, no reason to, because you're not playing for anything. But I just believe as a young team and a young player, you want to get these reps and you want to grow so you're in a better position when you guys step on the field next year. And so that's why, to me, again, if he's healthy and you're not worried about, any kind of setbacks there, you go play. And that's kind of how, I mean, I think all of us were when it came to concussions, is that we felt when we were fully healthy that it wasn't subjecting us to another one. Like, I mean, obviously you could take another hit, but it wasn't more likely necessarily that you suffered another one. And so when that time came, he got back on the field.
And then, he's not playing this week, not due to injury. Coach's decision, Justin Fields. What do you think? Is that the end? Is this it? The Jets have made their decision, and I mean, for them to be in this position, season's over. They trade away their two best defensive players. Yeah. They bench Justin Fields. I mean,
is this it for his time in the Jets?
Well, I guess, or should we see him again? Once he's out, I mean, doesn't that make the decision? Pretty much.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think it would be, you'd be hard pressed to think that he's going to go back in and start again this year. I mean, he's got a body of work in this offense, and again, barring, right, whatever, I'm just saying, just to insert him back in there. I think it's a tough sell right now. It doesn't mean he can't be the guy a year from now. To me, it's a tough sell right now. If you've pulled him because, he hasn't played very well this year, to place him back in there instead of giving some other guys a chance, whether it's Tyrod or Brady, a chance to see what they are. I would be surprised if that were the case. And then I think, your bigger picture question is this it? I will be very fascinated to see what happens with Justin Fields now. Will he get another opportunity to be the full-time starter for a team? I'm not sure he will. I think it will probably come and you're going to have to earn this spot. So maybe somewhere where they don't have a solidified quarterback and he comes in and he competes and maybe has a chance to earn it. But he's had a number of opportunities. I don't know if he's quite there yet as starter type material in the NFL. And I think he needs to grow and get better. And so it will be interesting to see what happens with him moving forward. If that's with the Jets, keeping him in that kind of a role, or whether that's, somebody else, taking a chance and bringing him in to compete.
And the 90 seconds I have left, the all 22 all-star of the week was who? Who was it?
It was Bryce Young.
How about it?
Bryce Young. And I love it. It's just kind of gradually just getting better and better and making more plays and making more plays. And, what a game. Over 450 yards, three touchdowns, made a whole bunch of plays for this team. And so, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, I love to see that picture right there because we all know where we were a couple years ago.
Heck yeah.
And what everybody was saying about him. And
last year.
Yeah.
Was
it just last year that we were saying that?
Kurt, we were there. We were there in Munich watching him maybe just begin to get his job back.
And I think about Justin Fields, who we just talked about.
Right.
And how a lot of these guys come into the league and they're not ready. They're just not ready to take on that position and carry a team and hold it down for a team. And gosh, we want to think and we tell them that they have to be ready, but they're not ready. And it takes some time. And so it's been fun to watch the ascension of Bryce Young. And I don't think he's there yet. But again, we're looking at growth with Caleb Williams, growth with Bryce Young and how he's playing every single week. And it's just, every week you watch and you're like, oh, there's some more of what I want to see. And there's some more of what I want to see. And so it has been fun to watch him grow and get more confident and make more plays. And I'm really excited to see what his future looks like.
Everybody check out analysis like that at QB Confidential, Kurt Warner's YouTube channel that is must subscribe. Good to see you, Kurt. Good to see you, bud.
You too, buddy.
You bet.
See you this weekend.
That's it. That's Kurt Warner on NFL Game Day Morning. That's what he means this weekend. 9 a.m. Eastern time, tip time. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. LeBron's back, everybody. He's back.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery. They're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers 24/7 protection when you bundle home, auto, and motorcycle. Learn more at Progressive.com. Listen. I understand when LeBron James is discussed in shows like this one. Well, I mean, shows similar to this one, where takes are welcome and handed out. And I understand shows like this one, where there's a simulcast, there's multiple audiences, call in, let's talk about it, let's light up a phone line, that it's much more clickable when the video about LeBron is more, shall we say, critical than appreciative. Guess what? This is a LeBron appreciation segment.
Okay. All right, I'm going to sit this one out.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Chris. Last night, we saw somebody take the court.
Uninterested in anything LeBron James.
He took the court, became the first individual in the history of the NBA to stroll on the court and saying, I am tipping off my 23rd season.
It's impressive.
He's now past Vince, who had 22 seasons. Vince never tipped off a 23rd. Okay, we all know all the records that he has. There was a stat on the local television broadcast for the Lakers last night. There are 82, I believe, individuals on NBA rosters who started living after LeBron started playing in the NBA. Dude! And I understand, you know, he's of an advanced age, and we're all expecting something to fall off. But in the first 14 games, the schedule fell off because he had, do you see what they're calling it, sciatica now?
Well, he started playing golf, and he got a bad back.
Interesting.
I mean, he's an old man. Welcome to your 40s.
But I'm just pointing out it's sciatica. It was a nerve irritation in the glute, which we thought, are the Lakers calling LeBron a pain in the ass? But we all know back pain can refer. And LeBron went out and double-doubled. And Luka double-doubled with 37 points. And Austin Reeves got 26. And the Lakers scored 140 and beat the Jazz by 14. And that's something that the Lakers are going to have to, at 11-4, prove is repeatable. For them to, in this deep end of the Western Conference pool, have a shot to come out of the Western Conference in a conference that the Oklahoma City Thunder are not losing in more often than not.
They're 14-1.
I'm aware of that. So, pretty cool, man. We're never going to see this again. And you, sir, you're going to miss him when he's gone.
Haven't missed them the first 3 weeks of the NBA season.
Understood. I got it.
You know, I didn't miss the playoffs last year. I'm totally fine.
Okay.
My life is great.
I don't know if you can say you're never going to see this again.
You're never going to see it again.
I don't know.
You will never
think about this, man. Think about this. There was a point where you never thought you'd see a guy play 12, 15 years. Like every generation, things just change.
You were never going to see somebody play this way again at this age. How does that sound? Or at this lump, we're just never going to see it. There's going to be too many load managed people. They're never going to have these numbers. They're never going to want to keep playing at this age.
And you want to load manage Jackson Dart.
I sure as hell do.
I mean, yeah, but keep them safe.
Yeah, I do. It's a different sport. Totally different. Totally different contact sport. Totally different. With all due respect to Austin Rivers. LeBron had this to say afterwards.
No, not really. I haven't been able to do that throughout my whole career. I think it's something I will really enjoy once I'm done, to be able to look back and see some of the things I've accomplished and great group of guys I was around, and the coaching staff I was around when I was playing the game. So I can sit back and think about what you just said as far as seven guys not being born when I started this journey. And that just made my back hurt. So I got a few days before we play again, so I'll be okay.
I guess seven of those 80-plus players that were born after he started playing in the NBA are on his own team. Crazy. So, we won't ever see it again. So, this is a LeBron appreciation video. You may not click on it, but I don't care. I'm gonna give the props.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.